The topic of today's message is praising our holy God. Praising our holy God. We'll be reading from Psalm number 99. But let me say to you that praising is a practical thing in the Christian life. To me, praising relates to how we think, how we speak, and how we act. And it's a good thing to be involved in praising the Lord. Again, how we think, how we speak, how we act. It ought to be a part of our lives that our hearts have praise for the Lord. Let's read Psalm number 99, and we'll come back to it in a little bit. But follow with me, please. This psalm says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredst them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Now we'll come back and emphasize a few things from that psalm before we're finished today. But as we think about praising God and the fact that our God is holy, let us begin by considering a word you're probably very familiar with, and that is the word doxology. If I should ask you to raise your hand if you ever heard or sung or heard someone else sing what is known as the doxology, we'd have most likely a pretty good response. Well, what is a doxology? The dictionary defines doxology as an expression of praise to God, especially a short hymn sung as part of a Christian worship service. Now, there has been more than one doxology through the years, but a commonly heard one is, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Do you know that was written a few years ago? Many years ago, in fact. It was written in 1674 by a man named Thomas Ken, who was a priest in the Church of England. So it's been around for a long, long time. The familiar words are what? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Haven't we heard that? The theme is good, praising God. But in a practical manner, let us now endeavor to answer this question. How does praising God help us? I'm going to say for a multiple of my statements, praising God relates to our thinking, our speaking, and our acting, our actions in life. But somebody might say, well, how does it help me? Well, let me share a few things with you. How does praising God help us? Three things that quickly came to my little mind were, number one, it helps our attitude. Let that sink in, if you will. It helps our attitude. Number two, it helps us to be thankful. And number three, it helps us to encourage others. Now, in addition to these thoughts, I retrieved some other information I want to share with you. Someone came up with this list, or we have this list available. Praising God can help us in many ways, including, so please follow with me and I'll go through this. Strengthening faith. Praising God can help us believe in God's promises and the good things he has done for us. Do you think so? Praising God. Praising God can help us in focusing on eternity. Praising God can help us shift our focus from the things of this world to eternal things. Putting challenges in perspective. Praising God can help us see our problems in a different light and focus on God instead. Combating negative spiritual forces. Praising God can help us fight against negative spiritual forces. Appreciating God's character. Praising God can help us consider and appreciate God's character. Filling our hearts with joy. Praising God can help us feel joy, peace, and satisfaction. Healing our souls. Praising God can help heal our souls from sin, pain, and sorrow. Building fellowship. Praising God can help us feel a sense of unity with other believers. Now, maybe you have already thought of some other good benefit of praising God. But I believe that list I just read to you and the thoughts I shared prior to the list would be sufficient to remind us that praising God is a good thing. Praising God really can be helpful to us, perhaps in many ways in life. The Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the content of verse number 6 in Psalm number 150. Have you been given breath by the Lord? You wouldn't be here today if you didn't have that. We owe our existence to Him. And so God wants all the world to praise Him. Does that mean everyone does? Well, certainly not. But that's what would be good if people did. So as we proceed with this message, I want you to please remember that praising God is not a waste of time. I would suspect that nobody in this building today would say, "Oh, I think it's a waste of time to praise God." Hopefully you wouldn't say it's a waste of time to come to church. Hopefully you see the value in both. But I want to emphasize that praising God is not a waste of time or an exercise in futility. Praising God really can help us. So I hope it's helped somebody here today, to encourage somebody. Praising God is for His glory and for our good. One more time. Praising God is for His glory and for our good. Now back to the Psalm number 99 that we read. There are three sections or movements within this psalm that all have words about God's holiness. And I want to point those out to you, and then we'll mention them again very likely before the message is over. But the first three verses, we can see the greatness of His glory. Verses 4 through 5, we can see the justice of His rule. Verses 6 through 9, we can see the prayers of His people. But within those three sections, notice with me in verse number 3, God's name is holy. And then in verse number 5, our God is holy. And then in verse number 9, our God is holy. When you say God's name is holy, and when you say He is holy, remember that His name represents His person. So you're essentially saying three times, or reading three times in Psalm number 99, God is holy. I believe that, do you? Amen. I believe that God is holy. The Bible even says elsewhere, "Holy and reverend is His name." I would submit to you, not everyone views His name with reverence. Some people drag it through the mud. That ought not to include you and me. But God's name is holy and reverend. He is holy. That's His nature. And the only way we have holiness is because He says, "You be holy as I am holy." We don't yet have an absence of sin in our lives, but God can help us to live for Him if we choose to let Him help us along the way. He is holy. In verse number 1, it says, "The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble." I will say this to you, that we ought to realize how little we are compared to how big God is. We ought to realize how insignificant we are compared to the great God that made us. But the Lord reigns. He has reigned. He does reign. He will reign. He is eternal. And no matter what goes on in the world, God reigns. No matter what goes on in the world, He's still in control. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is in control? I hope you do, because I think that's right. God is in control. Somebody might say to you, seriously, somebody might say to you, "Well, if God's in control, why does all this bad stuff go on in the world?" Well, we can't answer that perfectly, but I know one thing. I believe there's plenty of reason to believe in God and His power and His word. And if people look at the big picture of life, it's hard to deny the working of a God. And we can have confidence as Christians that God knows what He's doing, and all the bad will be brought into account. And even Christians give account someday to the Lord. But the Lord reigns over everything. And it says He sits between the cherubim, talking about the angelic realm. It says, let the earth be moved. Do you know that the stability of the earth depends upon God? He's the one that made it. He hangs the world, or has done so, over the empty space. And He's the one that keeps it all working just right. He's the one. And He can shake the world, so to speak, to demonstrate His power over it. Do you know that God still controls the elements of weather? Do we know that's true? Some of them might say, well, I don't like this kind of weather. And I might not either, or whatever kind it may be on a particular day. But God's in control. And I can assure you, He can handle things better than I could in the big picture of life. But the Lord reigns. The psalmist knew that the Lord reigned. I believe the psalmist knew that God had been faithful. Let me ask you, has God been faithful to you? I know He has, but do you realize that with me today? God has been faithful to all His people. And the Bible says His faithfulness reaches how high? Unto the clouds. That's pretty high. God's faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Yes, He's a faithful and holy God. Verse 2 mentions Zion. Zion refers to Jerusalem. And it says the Lord is great in Zion, and He's high above all the people. Oh yes, God was great in Jerusalem. He's great in all the world. He is high above everyone. Do you know that there is no one equal with God? It's still true that He's the Lord. There is none else beside Him, none like unto Him. He will give His glory to none other. That's almost a quotation from the Old Testament, by the way. He is the one true God. He is the holy God. And there is none else beside Him. You may have heard of people, you may have listened to people talk that would claim that they are gods, or that they are close to being it, but our God is the holy God. He's the holy God, and we need to realize that and not forget that in our lives. He's above all. Some people think very highly of themselves. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
That's rather quiet out there, but I think we have noticed it. You know, we've seen other people that would be that way, right? We all need to guard against that, because the Bible is very plain about pride and humility. But sometimes people think extremely highly of themselves. But no matter how high they are, or might think they are, or how high they may try to go or think they're going, nobody's going to equal the level that God has. Do we agree on that? I hope so. But He is high above everyone. And when you think about praising Him, to me that all fits together. He deserves our praise. He's greater than we are. He's higher than we are. And we owe our very existence to Him. I tend to emphasize that a lot, but it's very true. God brought us into this world by means of parents, but we wouldn't be here if God had not made life possible, would we? God made it all possible. And when you come to verse 3, it says, let them, the people, let them praise Thy great and terrible name. Now, if you read some other version that has a different word for terrible, you might find that interesting. I have fortunately learned along life's way that terrible doesn't always mean bad. I've told it before about a woman commenting about a meal. Oh, what a terrible meal. But apparently where she grew up, they would use that word to talk about something being great or awesome. And I think that's perhaps the idea right here, that the Lord is great and awesome. He is great. And so He deserves our praise. What does it say in verse 3? I'm not just talking to the wind, I hope. And not talking to the walls, I hope. It says, let them. Now, if that was true for the people back then, it can still be true and helpful for us today. Let them do what? Praise His great and awesome name, for it is holy. If something or someone is holy, that one or that thing is set apart from the bad things of the world. And God is the holiest of all, isn't He? He's the holiest of all. And so the praise is due to Him. People should praise that name because He's holy. I want to read a quotation to you from one of my study Bibles. I want you to think on it, please. And I'm going to try to emphasize some words that are italicized. So if you'll listen. Tangent thought. I hear the siren out there, don't you? That wouldn't distract anybody from the Bible reading, would it? It wouldn't distract anybody from the sermon material, would it? All right, let me read this to you if you follow, please. Everyone should praise God's great and awesome name because His name points to His divine nature, His personage, and His reputation. But the name of God is used so often in vulgar conversation that we have lost sight of its holiness. How easy it is to treat God lightly in everyday life. If you claim Him as your Father, live worthy of the family name. Respect God's name and give Him praise by both your words and your life. Now, I'm reading to you what someone else wrote, but I thought that was pretty good. I want to emphasize part of it again. The name of God is holy, and we should praise that holy name, but it's used so often in vulgar conversation that people have lost sight of its holiness. And so, what did it suggest that we do? If we live where we claim Him as our Father, then we ought to live worthy of the family name. Do you realize that we're not perfect? I'm not telling you anything new. It's true, we're not perfect people. But with the help of the Lord, and we all need His help, I don't want to bring reproach upon the name of Christ. And I trust that's the way we all feel. I don't want to use God's name in some way that's not appropriate. We hear it all the time, don't we? Everywhere you go, pretty much, and it's a sad thing. It's become so flippant, like I read to you here. It's easy to treat God lightly in everyday life. And it's become such that it's just part of people's conversation. They don't even know probably sometimes that they're saying it the way that they are. But I believe God's name ought to be holy to every child of God. Does anybody else think that? I think God's name ought to be holy to every child of God. Now in verse 4 it says, "The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob." Look at the key words there. Judgment, equity, righteousness. Our God is a God of justice, equity, and righteousness. If we look at things with short-sightedness, we might not benefit as we should. But if we and others of the world realize that in what we call the big picture of life, in the big picture of history, God is in control, and He will see to it that things are done in the way He decrees them to be done. And again, everybody has to be accountable to God. He is a God of justice. If you would find yourself in the position of a judge, if I would find myself in that position, I might do my best, but I might make a mistake. I might render the wrong judgment. Our God never will. He is the perfect God, and that extends to His justice and His equity and His righteousness. He doesn't give special treatment to somebody. He's equitable and He's always a righteous God. Doesn't the Bible teach very plainly that God is no respecter of persons? We live in a world, it's been true, I guess, in every generation, where people do respect persons, don't they? In other words, they have favoritism. That's just the way it goes. But God does not give anybody what we call a leg up just because of who you are. He treats everybody the way He knows is right. In verse 5, it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool." Do you know, as I understand the Bible teaches with respect to our Lord Jesus Christ that heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. We're here on the footstool and we're supposed to worship God and we're to exalt Him. For what reason? Verse 5 says we're to exalt Him and worship. That ties in with praise. We're to exalt Him and worship and praise Him. Why? For He is holy. I'm not any holier than anybody else, and neither would you be. That's not a put down. That's just the fact that God is the Holy One, and we owe everything to Him. And so we are to exalt and worship Him. We're to praise Him because His name is holy and because He as a person is holy. In verse number 6, we see mention of three names in particular, Moses and Aaron and Samuel. I want to share this with you, that the psalmist, because you see, not all the psalms were written by the same person. David apparently wrote a lot of them, but not all of them were written by David. But the psalmist, plural, worshiped God by recalling his saving acts to their predecessors. In other words, they looked back in time where God did things for those that came before them. Moses is mentioned by name in the Psalms several times, as is his brother Aaron. But this is the only psalm that mentions Samuel by name. Now, that doesn't mean Samuel is not a prominent person in the Bible, but here he is in the book of Psalms this time. But I want you to notice what they did and what God did. What are we saying? People like Moses and Aaron and Samuel, what did they do, and then what did God do? This is not complicated. I'm trying to emphasize something. They called, you see that? In verse 6, these well-known people, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, they called upon the name of the Lord. That's what they did. And what did he do? It's not a trick. Do you see it there with me? He answered them. Is prayer really asking and receiving? Yes, it is. Now, you can talk about asking and receiving, but at the same time, you can praise God even in your prayers. And so it all fits together. But I don't want us to miss that. When we talk about praising God, I would think Moses and Aaron and Samuel, as human as they were, had praise in their hearts for God. And the Bible tells us that they prayed. How do we know that? Because it says they called upon the Lord. He answered their prayers. I think that's a great blessing to see right there. I really do. They did not call upon him in vain. Now, think about this. If you can maybe grab a hold of some encouragement for all of us, that sometimes you may pray, which you ought to and I ought to, you may pray and you feel like, well, that's not doing much good. Now, y'all please be patient with me now. I'm just trying to travel the real road of life here. Somebody might say, well, I've been praying about that and it didn't do any good. God didn't answer my prayer. Well, how long did you pray about it? Did you quit too quickly? That fits in with another message we had recently. And I'm telling myself this too. Sometimes we just need to keep on praying, because God knows better than we do when and how to answer our prayers. But people can get discouraged. But listen, they didn't call upon him in vain, and neither do we if we're praying from our hearts to him. Our prayers are not in vain. The Lord heard their prayers, and he did not remain silent. And if God heard the prayers of their ancestors and heard their prayers, then he could surely hear the prayers of their descendants. I want to read something to you from Bible commentator Albert Barnes. This goes back a while, but I think it's very good. Please listen. Let me read this to you. He said, if a man who prays could see all that comes to him every day in answer to prayer, all the things bestowed which he had desired in prayer, and which would not have been conferred on him if he had not prayed, there would no longer be any doubt on the question whether God answers prayer. I thought that was pretty good. So he's basically telling us that if we could see clearly how God answers our prayers, he didn't say it this way, but like, we'd probably be giving him more credit than we do, because God does so much for us. Let me ask you, if Moses and Aaron and Samuel knew how to call upon the Lord and have him answer their prayers, and the Bible tells us, even in the New Testament, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, and it talks about prayer, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If the Bible tells us all these things, don't you think the same God who says he changes not, that the same God that heard the prayers of those people can hear the prayers of little people like me and like you? Don't you think he can? And I would like to think there are people here today that could testify that God has been good to you. God has answered prayers for you in your life. And I know that he can. So let me ask you, have you talked to him lately? You don't have to pull out your phone. You don't have to walk over there and pull the one off the wall or anything like that. But have you just slowed down enough to talk to God lately? I hope so. Listen, he's willing and he's ready to hear and answer your prayers even today. Some of you might remember just in the last week or two, I talked about persistent prayer and firm faith. That's a challenge, isn't it? But we need our faith to be firm, and we need to be persistent in prayer, and don't quit. God knows. When we're praying from our hearts to him, he knows all about it. And he is faithful to meet our needs along the way. In verse number 7, it says that God spoke to these people, the Jewish people, in the cloudy pillar. We know what he's talking about here, don't we? There was a time when God led the Israelites from Egypt to Canaan, from bondage to the promised land. And he had his presence identified with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He spoke to them and they obeyed. Now, does that mean the Israelites always did what God wanted them to do? Absolutely not. But on the positive side of things that we see right here, they kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. And people like Moses and Aaron and Samuel would be at the forefront of this thought. But if you include other people in there, we know they didn't always do what God wanted. And Moses and Aaron and Samuel, again, were human. But what did they do? They kept his testimonies. They knew how God worked in their lives. They kept his testimonies. Now, what does that mean? They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. It's very similar to saying that they kept his words and obeyed his laws. If you want other wording, it's very similar to saying in our day, they tried their best to live according to what the Bible says to do. I can't be much more basic than that in our wording, to do what the Bible says. In verse 8, it says that the Lord answered them. We saw in verse 6 that he answered them. And verse 8 says it again, that the Lord answered them. And it says he was a God that forgave them in spite of their inventions. It says he took vengeance of their inventions. Well, what does that mean? God took vengeance, or he would discipline, he would correct, he would do what was needed when people were wrong, but he also forgave them. Now, the word inventions refers to deeds. In other words, it's what the people did. And when you look at that closely, it's telling us that God forgave them even though they didn't always do right. Anybody here today glad that God has forgiven you when you didn't always do right? I hope we all have that in our hearts to be thankful for that right there. And so God forgave them in spite of the things they did that were wrong. And that's a great lesson for us today. God knows what we do and he holds us accountable for our wrong actions, but he still forgives. Aren't you glad that we have a great God of grace and mercy? A great God of grace and mercy. Verse 9 mentions God's holy hill. You might equate that with Zion or Jerusalem. The site of Zion was holy because of the presence of the Lord. How would a hill be holy? Because of God's presence. Okay? So it was holy because of the presence of the Lord. And that site, remember, was his footstool. And people to exalt and worship God because he is holy. Now, in case you're worried or wondering, I'm almost through for today. But I want to encourage you to think on what we're talking about. The Bible is full of information that can help us. And part of what the Bible helps us with is information about praising God. So I've shared some various thoughts with you and emphasized at least some of the things here in Psalm number 99. But don't forget, I wanted to come back to it, in verse 3 and verse 5 and in verse 9 in particular, we can see plain expressions of how our God is holy. So what was the title and what is the title of today's message? Praising our holy God. Let's not forget that our God is holy and not forget that he wants us to praise him. So let me close with what I mentioned earlier. Praising God is not a waste of time or an exercise in futility. Praising God really can help us. Praising God is for his glory and for our good. Can you praise the Lord in your heart today? I hope you can. Let's stand together and bow our heads for prayer, please.